World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
He was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is dumb, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was abused for our iniquities. And through his wounds, we are healed. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. It is
good morning, folks. Good Friday. It's where we are. You know, as a young kid, I could never understand why they called it Good Friday, because it's about the crucifixion. Again, I was raised a good little Catholic boy, right? Or I don't know if it's a good one. A Catholic boy. Had no real understanding of the scriptures, what it was all about, and could never figure out why they called that good. So before we do communion here, I just want to, Spencer, again, man, if you could, pull up number one. I just want to hey, folks, we just kind of brush over sometimes religious tradition, do we not? And we spoke about that yesterday, about tradition and following rules and following regulations and different religious beliefs and holidays and feast days and all of that. And sometimes we just get caught up in the mix of religion. We just miss the whole point. Huh? Yeah. Arguing over when he's going to come again and whether you're allowed to do this and whether you're not allowed to do this. And do you have to do this? And should we follow this? And are you keeping the feast? And I'm not making light of any of that. I'm not making light of it. But people would say, hey, coach, what's the bottom line here, man? Huh? To the lost world, what's the bottom line? But lost world, they care about the rapture. Do they care about end time theology? They care about any of that? Do they understand, really? Do we really understand what Easter, which is pagan, is all about? All the crap, all the stuff we divide over. When the reality of it is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's only one mediator between man and God, Christ Jesus. When it comes down to it, doesn't matter how religious you are, how many rules you've followed, none of that stuff. At the end of the day, has the blood of Jesus Christ washed you clean? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I don't care. Look, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you're an elder. I don't care if you're a pastor. Have you ever hit your knees and received the forgiveness, the grace and mercy and forgiveness of Christ for that death upon the cross? That blood says that blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. And how do we get to the point in America where the average person that you're going to run into today, it's Good Friday, federal holiday, I believe. I don't know. I think it's a federal holiday. Post offices are, do the average person know what Good Friday is? Really? Do they understand what it is? So yeah, that was the day that Christ hung on that cross. Okay, why? Why did he hang on that cross? Forgiveness of our sins. Yeah, what does that look like? What does that mean? How does him hanging on that cross on Good Friday? Can't eat meat if you're Catholic. Can't eat meat here on Friday. Don't know. Can't figure out why that one is. Other than another tradition of men. What does it all have to do with me? And we've done such a lousy job of making Christianity about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and follow this and don't follow that and do this ritual and that ritual. And you know what I'm talking about, right? When the average person, I believe, that we come in contact, broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come. Few find it. He said that, not me. Many come. Go to church every Sunday. They don't even know what it's about. They can't find it. Because why many come and few find it. And what the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is all about. Lived a sinless life. We can't explain that. I can't explain that. I don't know how I did that. By the way, they taught me in my Catholic Catholicism that I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And I want you to know that to my Catholic brethren, thoughts aren't sin. We're told to take captive every thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Sin is acting upon your thought. And unfortunately, most of us, it's almost impossible to resist the temptation of sin without the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't understand that, don't understand the being born again experience. Born again being what? Receiving the Holy Spirit of God into our being. That's what it is. Have you been born again? Baptized? Huh? Yeah, that's important. Have you been born again? Born from on high? Have you ever fallen on your feet, on your face, and cried out and said, Lord, I don't even know if you're real? But I am a mess. And if you are real, make yourself real. I receive you as my Lord and Savior and fill me with your Holy Spirit. So that's, and after that, man, the race is on. The race is on. Now we're going to take some communion here in a second. Before we do, I just have always liked this Michael W. Smith song, Crucified. I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to bring Joe in and to lead us in communion here. Appreciate Joe getting up at four in the morning out there, probably earlier than that. Go ahead, Spencer. Above all powers. Pretty powerful, isn't it? It's pretty powerful. Amen. Hey, Joe, before I bring you in here, Spencer, if you would bring up Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I just sent it to you. Thank you, brother. I'd like to read Psalm 18, Joe. I'm going to turn it over to you. Take the communion. Psalm 18 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You know we have enemies? The sorrows of death compassed me, and floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Somebody say amen. This is appropriate for all times and places, isn't it?
Amen.
The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also, the hills moved and were shaken, because he was ticked off. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Friends, don't ever forget, it's the fear of the Lord that drives us to repentance. The fear of the Lord. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. He did fly, yeah? He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him. Were dark waters and the thick clouds of the sky. And at the brightness that was before him, thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones, coals of fire. Yeah, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered by thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me. For they were too strong for me. Dr. Paul, embrace that verse right there, brother. He delivered you from your strong enemy and from them which hated you, for they were too strong for you. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. See, he cleanses us, endued us, as Pastor Tim would tell us. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all of his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed, repaid me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show yourself pure. And with the froward you'll show them how to be froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people. But going to bring down the high looks and the haughty. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. I love this one. For by thee, I have run through a troop. Paul, you're running through a troop, brother. and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Are you buckled to him? Are you buckled to him? For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, digs in, and he setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Boy, see that power and mercy together, that strength and weakness together? Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. Who? His enemies. I have wounded them, that they're not able to rise. They've fallen under my feet. For Lord, you have girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. You have given me the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Boy, this is a little different God, isn't it? This is the Lord that we're all to be afraid of. They cried. Who did? My enemies. They cried. They didn't want anybody to save them. Even unto the Lord. But he had nothing. He didn't hear him. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. Yes, sir. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Violent doesn't mean war. It means violate, to come and take something that doesn't belong to them. Thou hast delivered me from those who want to steal from me. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to David's seed forevermore. Amen. Joe, I think we can take a toast to that, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Coach. And you know, with Christianity, we often diminish what Christ went through, what he did for us. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, he took one for the team. No, he took, there wouldn't be a team.
That's right.
He took everything for everyone on the team. Everything. And I don't think sometimes that we understand that. Given what we've seen and everything, I'm going to shorten the reading. Normally it was going to be Isaiah 53, 3 to 12, but I think I'll probably stop after 8, and then go into prayer from there. But if we just saw that pretty horrible experience, and of that little film, the clip that Coach put on, maybe close your eyes when I'm reading and see what comes to mind having seen that. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. You know, those words aren't allowed to be spoken in synagogue anymore.
Wow.
Is it? You really, it points an arrow to one man, and they all know who are in the synagogue who that is, and it reminds them, and they're ashamed that they missed it. Sometimes, amen, maybe some wake up and join the team, but unfortunately, they really missed it, and religion killed our Lord.
Amen.
So I pray everybody in synagogues will open their eyes and let that be read. Maybe they should demand it. Demand the truth. Anyway, it's about everyone now.
Joe, he says in verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked. Think of that. Wicked.
Yeah.
And with the rich in his death. Because he didn't deserve it. He had done no violence.
No violence.
Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Wow.
I mean, and to think, was this like 600 years before Christ? Isaiah was a 400. I can't remember. I think it's 600. Anyway, if I know there's debate on, Daniel must have been written a lot later because there's so many things that were correct. Well, that's because there's prophecy. That's because there's a God. That's the whole idea. The stupid media that says that, it just shows how dumb they are. They
remember this. Remember this. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Joe, it can't. It's not that they don't get it. They can't get it.
Yeah,
the unnatural, unregenerated man cannot understand it.
Yeah. So let's say a little prayer for everybody, not just the team, but let the team get bigger. But he took it, all of it, for all of us. Not just one for the team, but all of it for everybody on the team. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude in our hearts and tears in our eyes, for we understand a little bit, a little of what he went through. And the fear of God we have is maybe a little bit of the feelings that he was going through then. We don't understand, but we're trying. And we realize he took every sin from everyone who is on the team, who is saved. Everyone. Not just one for each of us, which would be, wow, how could you do that? But everything from everyone on the team.
The ultimate presidential pardon.
Yeah. The ultimate team player, the ultimate everything. I mean, yeah, the ultimate pardon. But his pardons were done with a pen. This had a much higher price. And Lord, we now pray for Jerusalem, that those there and all around the world that are afraid to admit the truth, open their eyes, Lord. Let this be read in their synagogues. And let the team get bigger. Let more people join the team. He's paid the price. Let more and more receive the blessing of forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And change their lives and be able to understand so much more. Because until you're part of the team, you can't understand anything. And so, Lord, we come to you with a world that's corrupt, broken, and doesn't resemble even that of the world that we grew up in. But we realize that you can change anything and everything so much quicker than we understand can be done. So we ask you, Lord, to change our hearts and change and bring truth into those that tell lies. Bring justice into those who corrupt the system and make it their own. Bring true justice and the real truth that we may be set free. And let us always remember from whence this comes. Comes from you, Lord. Anything good in our Constitution did not come from the hearts of men. It came from the biblical foundation they had in their education and their upbringing. That's where it came. And the little bit of good in our Constitution and in those that copy-pasted it around the world to the things that they could agree with and still keeping more power to themselves, the little bit of good that went around the world came from you, Lord. So let that little bit of good be a seed and grow here and even here in California and all around the world, Lord. We need justice, with private farms and businesses being seized. And where are we? We're not in the Soviet Union. We're not in Nazi Germany. But I feel two systems fighting, trying to show who's better, who's stronger, who's got the upper hand. You have the upper hand, Lord. Flip the table. Flip the tables in the temple and show who is the merchant in the temple defiling you, Lord. Show them. And heal our world and help us to not let it become what it had become, to keep it on the path and to occupy and to be involved, to have learned that church isn't separate churches, and you should be in our daily lives, not just once a week. Should be in our politics, should be in our medicine, should be in our shopping, should be in what we create and we read and we write and we watch. Not just one day a week, Lord. And we thank you for waking us up. And we ask anybody who's in the cold or has lost for any of these disasters or just finances gone bad, that they find some warmth, they find some comfort, they find some abundance, they find hope in their heart. Because hope leads to faith, which leads to love. And we thank you, Lord. And so we thank you for communion. And we ask you that you forgive us our sins and our transgressions as we take this holy meal, this meal that heals, Lord. We ask that you remember that our aches, our pains, our hurts, our wounds in our spirit or our soul can all be healed. Let us receive the healings that you have purchased, Lord, with your stripes. And we bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are grateful we can take this communion now. In Jesus' name, pray we now. Amen. Producer, Spencer, thank you, sir. I should have these in my head by now, but. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body.
Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this root of the vine until that day I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. Sort of had church this morning, didn't we? Sort of had church this morning. I was going to say something. I'll bite my tongue. Steve Depp, come on in. Look, hey, folks, I got some stuff, but I want to hear from you. Go ahead. Steve, good to hear from you, man.
What's up? I'm here.
Your hand's up, dude. I thought you wanted to say something.
I'm sorry. I didn't see it up. My bad.
Well, say something.
It's all good. It's all good.
All good, man.
I'm busy, but good.
Amen. 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 So I'm just going to pause here for some. I know Craig's full of it today. I know he is. And Craig, maybe I sent that link to Jared. Maybe we can pull that up. But if you would, Craig, just explain a little bit more of that, the 21-day action, why we're in the midst of it, what's going on with it. Are you there, bud? Yeah, there you go. It's up on the screen. Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes into Daniel chapter 10, which really goes back to Daniel chapter 9, where he has this big vision, you know, and he says, you know, 62 weeks and 7 weeks and then the 70 weeks. And we won't get into all that. But what's really neat about the Bible is sometimes you don't understand something, but you just got to keep reading. And so in chapter 10, you know, Daniel, he kind of understood it. But then this glorious man comes and visits him. But he comes and visits him after Daniel had been basically fasting. He says, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine in my mouth, nor did I anoint myself for 3 full weeks, right? Which is 21 days.
So that's up on the screen, Craig. I don't know if you know that or not. We've got that up on the screen. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was reading out of the Bible there. But then it says, you know, on the 24th day of the first month. So that's our clue of when it is, right? I mean, if we were to take that in our current Gregorian calendar, well, we'd say that would be January 24th, right? Okay.
Right.
Well, but this is God's calendar, right? And God's calendar is We're still in the first month because it's right after the equinox. Okay. The spring equinox. Okay. So anyways, that's why we're doing this. And those who are, you know, have given up something for 3 weeks, who are fasting and praying, we're kind of walking the steps of what Daniel did, you know, but for our current time, and we're applying it to what's going on and in the Middle East right now. And because it talks about, you know, this glorious man that was withheld for 21 days by the Prince of Persia. And so all the things that are going on with Iran and everything, and nobody wants war. We don't even want to see, you know, death come to people that don't necessarily believe what we believe, but we're sure at a precipice of it. And we're actually going to be having talks again the second time with Iran tomorrow in Oman. And Oman is on the southeast part of Saudi Arabia, and it's right across. It's called the Persian Gulf. And if you study the Persian Gulf, it has like chokeholds. And these chokeholds are very narrow passages of the Gulf where ships can't go through because you can shoot missiles at them very, very quickly, right, on both sides. So we're praying that the Lord will open up some sort of means for a peaceful solution, if possible, because you can't pray against the Lord's will. And if there is a peaceful solution that the Lord provides, that men will choose it. Because sometimes men don't do things that are right.
Amen. Amen on that. Amen. Is that it, Greg? That's what's all about.
What's interesting, though, Coach, and I sent that to you in an email, is you know, we started praying about this, okay, on April 2nd. And there was this really rushed meeting where Netanyahu comes back to the United States. I mean, he had been here earlier. And part of it was they were talking about the tariffs. I think this was the 7th of April. So we started this basically April 2nd. And okay. In the news, it talks about, you know, how President Trump kind of said, hey, the Netanyahu, we're not going to go ahead and jump in and just do this. We're going to try to find out if there's a peaceful solution. And from Netanyahu's standpoint, they want that done. They want to get this nuclear capability of Iran taken out as soon as possible. So, you know, is some of our prayers with others, you know, kind of bringing things into a reality? Well, we're going to let the Lord answer that. But
Spencer, scroll up a little bit, if you would. Just a little bit on this paragraph before that. We ask the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ, to rule and reign in the hearts of mankind and world leaders. We ask that peaceful solutions be present and accepted before any more major military conflicts arise. We ask for protection of our U.S. military forces if conflict does break out, that God's hand of protection be over them. We ask for the people of America have a Holy Spirit-led self-reflection on how our culture has denied Christ, boy, as King of Kings, amen on that, and how far we have fallen from the scriptural morals outlined in the Bible, from abortion, sexual promiscuity, breakup of the natural family, rampant homosexuality, and the sexualization of our children. Yeah, Paul, cult. It's a cult here. Thanks, Craig. I'm going to show you something here, folks. It's going to get a little harsh here in a second, if you bear with me here. It's amazing. Make sure I got the right thing. That's not what I'm looking for. Let me go right here real good. Point number three, folks, this is a wow. Just so that you know, I got this from David Arthur, by the way. We're not going to play it all. So that you can grasp the deviant spirit that is sweeping across America. And to think, though, when gay rights began, whatever that would have been, this isn't about homosexuality today. I'm trying to show you an evil spirit that's at work in our land, and we don't understand it. The church doesn't even really resist it. We're the only ones that can. We're the only ones that can stand in the gap for righteousness. The unrighteous will not stand in the gap against unrighteousness. They won't do that. We are called to do that. We're the salt of the earth. David Arthur sent me the today this. I'm just going to play a couple minutes of this. And friends, are you looking at me? This is the enemy. And ask yourself this, how this group of people, this spirit, folks, it's a spirit, how this spirit can be so dominant against what we just read from Craig. There's no right and wrong. Jesus says, vamoosed in a culture. We're the salt of the earth. Let's just watch a few minutes of this. So we have to ask ourselves, what do we do? What did we just read Psalm 18? What did Psalm 18 say that we're to do to our enemies? These aren't our enemies. These are enemies of the cross. They're after your children and your grandchildren. This is promoted in your public school. These are enemies of the cross. Christ not allowed in the school. This stuff allowed in. Just watch a couple minutes. Then I'll put it in the chat so you can watch it afterwards and understand the depth of depravity of what it is we're dealing with. Whatever happened to shame? Whatever happened to shame? Just a few minutes of this. Go ahead.
Gender fluid, trans femme, pan romantic, great ace, white passing, Japanese person.
And I feel like bun perfectly encapsulates the balance of my masculine and feminine characteristics.
Neurodivergent trans people don't owe you an explanation for their existence.
I am a white trans masculine femme non binary, temporarily mostly able bodied, neurodivergent, obsessive compulsive, chronically ill, culturally Jewish, Unitarian Universalist, non monogamous, demi low romantic, gray demi bisexual, survivor of acute and complex trauma, millennial.
During a gender reveal party. And no, I'm not pregnant, it's for myself. I'm non binary.
Hello, guys and gals and non binary pals. You know, life isn't about finding yourself, it's about creating yourself.
And we can embody our genders in empowered acts of self-creation.
Queerness is an act of creation.
God made trans people for the same reason he made wheat but not bread.
And God created grapes but not wine.
So that humanity can share in the art of creation.
Asexual, demisexual, and cupiosexual.
Autosexual, ace flux.
Neuroqueer.
Gray sexuality. Non-asexual, aromantic, and allosexual, aromantic.
Oh, actually, I'm gender fluid.
Oh, okay.
Meaning their gender sort of fluidly changes between masculine and feminine and agender.
God created trans people so that I could experience my own divine act of creation.
Is a gender identity that's similar to being a girl, but it's on a completely different plane from the binary gender of woman.
Gender flawn means that I live on the gender fluid spectrum, but I never identify as female.
I'm just not a man and just not a woman, but my gender is hard to define beyond that. It's just definitely queer.
I think that I would like validation for my gender identity.
Gender is a social construct. This is scientifically proven. Therefore, anything can be a gender because we made that shit up.
Freeze a minute. Folks, it's self-mutilation. Do you understand it? You understand that the demon was cutting himself with stones? You understand it? You understand the spiritual significance of what it is that we're watching and the fact that we are inviting it into our culture? These are deviant, mentally confused, demonically oppressed and possessed people. And when they're bringing this spirit into our culture as if this were normal. Play just a couple more minutes.
Hot take. All trans people are inherently people of faith. Because in order to realize you're trans, it requires seeing things that are unseen.
Being transgender is not a choice. It is a realization. And honestly, a somewhat spiritual one.
It's not with our eyes, but with our heart that we see we're trans. And so it is inherently an act of faith.
Today's affirmation is trans people are sacred.
Being trans is a beautiful, sacred thing God created.
And I think we generally in our society don't view transitions with the sacredness, any kind of transitions with the sacredness that we should. And trans people are like a very powerful one.
My religion? Transgenderism.
God is non-binary.
Did you know that Allah is beyond gender?
Remember that God transcends gender.
God is trans. God is gender non-binary.
God is non-binary. God is queer. God is autistic.
I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural.
I need you to listen to your heart. Who does God say you are?
I believe that God is love. And my
put it in the chat. Folks, we gotta get serious. We have got to get serious. Anybody out there other than me, old man like me, do you remember when all this stuff was in the closet? You remember that? You remember I heard my mom say to my dad one time about a guy named Neil Wrigley, who lived in our community, that he was a Bato. What? Bato. What's a Bato? The spirit of homosexuality. Folks, it's demonic. Yeah, Paul, he was in the closet. Okay, look, I've done all the talking today. Well, me and Joe have. So, come on in. I got some other stuff. We got 8 minutes left. Maybe I'll throw one more other thing up there. We're at war. We are, okay, number five, pull number five up. Let's go to a little bit of a cultural thing. Anybody remember Ross Perot? Anybody remember him? Is that it? There it is. You ready? Ross Perot, during the debates, 1980 maybe? Go ahead.
I'd like to direct my question to Mr. Perot. What will you do as president to open foreign markets to fair competition from American business and establish here at home from foreign countries so that we can bring jobs back to the United States?
That's right at the top of my agenda. We've shipped millions of jobs overseas, and we have a strange situation because we have a process in Washington where after you've served for a while, you cash in, become a foreign lobbyist, make $30,000 a month, then take a leave, work on presidential campaigns, make sure you got good contacts, and then go back out. Now, if you just want to get down to brass tacks, first thing you ought to do is get all these folks who've got these one-way trade agreements that we've negotiated over the years and say, fellas, we'll take the same deal we gave you. And they'll gridlock right at that point because, for example, we've got international competitors who simply could not unload their cars off the ships if they had to comply. You see, if it was a two-way street, just couldn't do it. We have got to stop sending jobs overseas. To those of you in the audience who are business people, pretty simple. If you're paying $12, $13, $14 an hour for factory workers, and you can move your factory south of the border, pay a dollar an hour for labor, hire a young 25, let's assume you've been in business for a long time, you've got a mature workforce. Pay a dollar an hour for your labor, have no health care, that's the most expensive single element, making a car, have no environmental controls, no pollution controls, and no retirement, and you don't care about anything but making money, there will be a giant sucking sound going south. So if the people send me to Washington, the first thing I'll do is study that 2,000-page agreement and make sure it's a two-way street. One last point here. I decided I was dumb and didn't understand it, so I called a who's who of the folks who've been around it. And I said, why won't everybody go south? They said, we'll be disruptive. I said, for how long? I finally got them up for 12 to 15 years. And I said, well, how does it stop being disruptive? And that is when their jobs come up from a dollar an hour to $6 an hour and ours go down to $6 an hour, then it's leveled again. But in the meantime, you've wrecked the country with these kinds of deals. We've got to cut it out.
Thank you, Mr. Perot. I see that
what they call that, the North American free trade, right? Oh, my goodness. The chickens are coming home to roost for sure. Come on, somebody come in here. Talk to me. Okay, play General Flynn. That's a good one. Play General Flynn.
But I want the thread pulled to where the money is going. And then once we see where the money's going, if I'm the U.S. government and you're the recipient of a buttload of money, I want to know that Seth Holthouse is getting, a $500 million a year for whatever. Why? And then what's Seth Holthouse doing with it? And then I go to Seth Holthouse, and now you get into what's called in the military a commander's inquiry, right? The initial beginnings of an investigation. That doesn't take months. It takes a couple of phone calls, and it takes me to go find you, sit you down and go, okay, why is that money coming to you? What are you doing with the money? And how long has it been going on? And you answer the questions. And if you go, well, I'm going to take the, I need a lawyer. Then you go, no, you don't. In fact, you're not going to get a lawyer because I'm here on the authority of the President of the United States for national security purposes. And you're not going to get a lawyer, actually, because I need to know, because we have you dead to rights for basically theft. Okay. So you either tell me what you need to tell me, or we're going to take you and you're going to find yourself in prison for the next 25 to 50 years of your life. Maybe forever.
Boom. Boom. That's what. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Come on in, man. Yeah, Judah. A lot of pastors going to prison. Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, it's cut dry. It's simple. You know, why has crime got to be so complicated? That's what it is. It's just crime.
That's right. It ain't complicated, is it, Johnny? Theft is theft, no matter what you call it. Stealing is stealing, no matter what you call it. And, oh, my goodness. Another time. Judd, come on in, Judd.
Coach, yesterday they had the presidential luncheon, White House. Did you happen to hear it?
No.
So I can send the link in here, but President Trump got up and the whole table, this was all of the major televangelist pastors from all over the country. And at one table, you got Kenneth Copeland and all the Billy Graham family and everybody else there. And President Trump, in his speech, mispronounces Billy Graham's last name. And he calls him Billy Graham. And so for people who know and people who understand, there's no such thing at his level, a misspelling or a mispronunciation. And so I looked up the word Graham. And the definition of Webster's in Graham is an absolute word of historical anger, sorrow, and harm. People will catch it when they start to wake up.
So, in other words, he didn't mispronounce.
And he called him out in front of everybody.
Wow, wow, wow. A lot going on, man. There's a lot going on for sure. So, I don't know how we keep on top of it. I don't know. We do best we can. Ohio Brett. Come on in, Brett. Good to hear from you.
Hey, let us remember Scripture. It's all a shell game, the author of confusion. Another hearing, another, oh, he said something. Ooh-hoo, nothing ever gets done. Plug into your Bibles and plug into CoachDaveLive.com and remember what Jesus Christ lived through for us on this day.
Amen, Brett. Amen. No, I want to ask you a question here before we part ways here. Some of you have been listening a long time. What show was this? 2,391. That's a lot of shows, isn't it? And I want you to ask yourself the question, because some of you get pushed back from your friends, because your family members, because you're in here, yada, yada, yada. Can you tell me something that we've discussed here that we were wrong about? I mean, maybe we didn't have it all lined up perfectly, but have we been wrong? All those things that your friends say you're in a cult and yada, 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 yada. Where would you be in your knowledge base today if you weren't tuning in with this great group every morning? And then after we're done, I hope that you go do a little bit of research on your own and you're going to find out, daggone, quickly. Did you know that cancer is a parasite? Did you know that? Did you know they're finding out that ivermectin kills cancer? Did you know that? You mean to tell me they don't know a cure for cancer after how many years? Whoa, parasites, baby. Oh, as above, so below, whatever it is they say. Oh, man. Hey, God bless you. Great weekend. Easter Sunday. See you on Monday.